It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 330, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. It's the middle of the summer, and there doesn't seem to be much to talk about BYU sports, but yet Matt and I figure out a way to do it for like an hour. We discuss the advice that Jake Heaps has for the current BYU QBs. We identify three under-the-radar impact players that we see for the 2018 football team, and we talk about just how European recruiting might impact men's basketball. Oh, and Matt gives his perfect recipe for the perfect brat. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. You can find us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can listen to us right now. Matt, I'm wondering if the listeners are going to even recognize your voice.
I've changed so much. So much has changed.
Well, it's been like a month since you were on the show.
It has been a long time, hasn't it?
Not quite a month, actually. I'm exaggerating, but it's been a few weeks. So welcome back to the Rise and Shout podcast, brother.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. And exaggerating is not a word.
It most certainly is.
Get that garbage out of here.
I use it all the time. So it's a word. I think so.
Okay. Sure.
I think it's a word. Have you seen Incredibles 2 yet?
See.
And?
Awesome.
Better than the first?
I think I did enjoy it more than the first. I'm not going to lie to you.
One of the best superhero movies of all time?
I think that might be a little bit of an overstatement.
It's not. And then what else was I going to ask you on the pop culture front? Have you seen Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I haven't seen the first Ant-Man. What makes you think I've seen the second?
I thought you watched all the Marvel movies.
I skipped Ant-Man.
Oh, Ant-Man's hilarious. And so yeah, is the Ant-Man and the Wasp. You would enjoy it, I think.
I'll get caught up on that.
All right. So go get caught up on that. I highly recommend it. I enjoyed the second movie. And it's the kind of fun you hope to have it. At the theater.
At the cinema.
At the cinema.
Oh, so, greatest thing ever happened.
All right. Greatest thing ever. Wow, that's quite a lead-in. Let's hear about it.
So, as you know, and many of our listeners know, I recently have relocated back to the Houston area. And we moved right back to the same neighborhood where we used to live, just, you know, a few streets over or whatever. And there was a movie theater right by our house, but it didn't have... You didn't have the call, you know, reserve seating and the lounge, like the recliners and stuff. So we would always drive over to another movie theater. It was like 15, 20 minutes away. This movie theater, I mean, I could almost walk there. I mean, it's really close. So I drove by there the other day. Big, big letters out in front. Luxury lounges, it reads. Got into Fandango. They've renovated, baby.
Oh yeah!
So I can get the call ahead seating. I keep trying to call it, but the reserve seating, the recliners, the whole deal.
Are you calling? Are you calling movie phone?
Movie phone
to get your showtime.
Your movie is playing at 3:25, 4:30, 5:15, and 6:45.
Oh man!
Movie
don't,
phone.
Don't miss that.
No, that was and it, but that was like cutting edge.
It was cutting edge.
When the phone came out, it was like, wow, you can just call this number and hit these buttons, and they're going to tell you what time your movie is. You don't have to like look it up in the newspaper or just show up at the theater and hope you get a seat.
Now, I don't know if people do this anymore, okay? But I remember talking to our parents. I don't know. This was 20-something years ago, and... I was talking with them one day after they got home from a movie, and they told me they didn't really like the movie. I don't remember what it was. And I said, well, why did you go to that movie? Well, we got to the movie theater, and we picked that one based on the poster and the title and went inside. And I said to them, like, that's crazy. Like, that you showed up at a movie theater and then picked the movie, right? Because I had never done that, right? At that point... I don't remember if I was still a teenager or a young adult. So I, afterwards, did a little research. At the time, that was actually over 50% of the people went to the movie theater with either no idea what movie they were going to see or just a vague idea of a movie they were going to see. And if they got there and the movie that they wanted was sold out, they'd pick another one. Now, that's not how I've ever operated. Have you ever operated that way? Have you just show up at a movie theater and this... hope to find the right movie in the right time?
If I have, I don't remember it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, now, of course, you look it up on your phone, right? I mean, you don't...
I look it up and buy the tickets on my phone. As a matter of fact, my tickets are on my phone.
Yeah, same here. So
but it blows my mind. Okay, so I put the tickets on my phone on Fandango, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get up there, and I scan the barcode, and then they print me up tickets. And I'm like, you don't need to print me tickets.
No, but here's the other thing.
There's no need to bring ink and paper into this transaction.
So at my local theater, where we go the most often, they now scan your barcode right where they take the tickets. So they don't print your ticket anymore at my theater. That's just recent in the last month or two. So you walk up with your phone and he scans it and then it shows him how many tickets, right? Because if you got multiples on that pass, right? And I'm just like, that's amazing right there. That's amazing. So anyway, Matt, let's stop talking about... Oh, and I got MoviePass. Did I tell you that? I got MoviePass.
Yeah, so how is that?
Well, I'm traveling a lot for my new job, and I go to movies quite a bit as my entertainment in the evenings while my coworkers are out, getting drunk a lot of times. And it's been great. It's been easy. There's a couple of weird rules, but it's good. I like it. I like it so far. So I don't know.
A couple of weird rules, like you have to wear a red hat.
Yes. Yes. And like that sometimes,
kind of weird rule.
Yeah, sometimes no pants.
That's a weird rule.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Just terms of service, you know. No, you can't see the same movie twice. You can't, what's the other ones? There's a couple of rules. But, I mean, they also restrict. They also restrict, you know, you can't go to a 3D movie with it, though now that's changing some of the rules. But so far I've liked it. I mean, if somebody goes to movies all the time, it makes sense. If you're only going to one movie a month anyway, then it's probably a waste of your time.
Yeah, I don't think it's for me.
No.
Movie phone is probably more my speed.
You haven't even seen the Ant-Man and the Wasp yet, so.
Well, no, because I called movie phone, and the times weren't right.
That's right. Well, let's go hop into the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't see that coming. I get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, Kyle Collinsworth and Elijah Bryant are actively playing in the NBA Summer League.
Way to go, fellas.
The good news is they're playing in the Summer League. The bad news is Kyle Collinsworth actually got released by the Dallas Mavericks. But is still playing for their summer league team. So hopefully that is just roster management. But that's the problem that these fringe guys like Collinsworth face, because every year there's a new crop of rookies who need roster spots, who got drafted or signed. And, you know, with limited NBA roster spots, it's not like the NFL, you know, or Major League Baseball.
The NBA is tough.
Yeah, it's tough. So... good luck to both of them this summer league. Taysom Hill, is he the quarterback of the future for the New Orleans Saints, or should I say Narlins? The writer for Who Dat Dish, Dayton Brown, basically his article on FanSided is more or less saying no. Your future quarterback does not play special teams, and he doesn't spend a lot of... This is not an in-depth analysis, but he does give us a quick fact that Hill is a devout Mormon and served as a missionary.
A devout Mormon.
Served as a missionary in Sydney, Australia, and was heavily recruited coming out of high school. Anyway, Matt, we've talked about this before. I don't think he's the quarterback of the future for the Saints.
I don't know that they see him as the quarterback of the future. I don't know that that means he isn't, though, right? So, you know, he's got to go in. They're going to keep him around for a season or two, and I think that he's in a position where he could break through.
Sure.
But right now, they don't. That's not what they're building.
No. And, you know, we'll see. So good luck to Taysom. On all that stuff. Matt, I've got this a little out of order. Let's talk basketball before we get into football, because we only have one basketball thing to talk about. There is an article in the Deseret News where a friend of the podcast, Dick Harmon, writes about assistant coach Who is it? Oh, Lee Kummert, you know, former BYU basketball player. He is going to Europe to recruit and find some players for BYU basketball. You know what's interesting is BYU has, over its history, had some players from outside the United States. Rafael Arujo recently comes to mind, as a few others. Obviously, the WCC is kind of a place for foreign players to come and play. Matt, what do you take of this? I mean, he says, of course, it's meaty and he's going there. It's not just lip service. And I'll take him at his word. Do you think we'll see an influx of non-American players at BYU in the next few years?
I think we'll see one or two. It sounds to me like they're looking for a very specific type of a player, somebody who they really feel the quote. I think what he says here, somebody who's really going to move the needle. You know, the part in this that I really like is, and I scrolled by it. You know, he says, Lee says, there are a lot of European players recruited in the United States, and we see a lot of them in WCC, whom BYU regularly beats. So I don't know that I expect us to see, like, you know, a rush like when the Pioneers were all invited to Utah, but I think that a player or two is not out of the question.
Yeah, I hope that right now they are thinking of alternative ways to recruit and develop talent. And the reason I say that is because I think Rose and his staff have gotten a little obsessed with Utah County.
I think
they need an influx of talent, some different skills than what they've been getting over the last few years. I mean, it really comes down to this, right? Most of the time, if you're not as good of a team, and I know I'm going to break some ground here, you don't have as good of players as you had before, right? I mean, coaching is, of course, a big part of it. Your competition is a big part of it. But I think BYU's kind of down period the last three seasons just has to do with there's just not enough talent on the rosters, right?
This is groundbreaking analysis. Yeah,
I know. But what I'm saying is, like, you can't keep doing what you're doing. It's not working, right? The Lone Peak pipeline has not worked out the way they thought it would work out, right?
But they were like really good when they were playing together in high school.
And we all would have been ticked if any of those guys had ended up. Well, I guess Frank Jackson, he played at Lone Peak too, right? Where did Frank Jackson play? I don't know. Anyway, the point is,
yeah, but if we hadn't gotten those three guys to BYU, right, it would have been fandemonium,
yes,
meltdown.
Oh yeah, but the problem is who was behind him. You know, what did the rest of the roster look like? And you and I have been talking about this for at least three seasons. There's no depth, right? The fall off between players three to player four on the roster, talent wise, is like a cliff, has been the last few years, and you know that's a problem, because you need it to be a gradual decline if you're going to be a good team, right?
Well, let's go ahead and finish.
Well, I was going to say, unless you're Kentucky, and everybody there plays in the NBA, right? I mean, outside of those elite schools, you have to have that gradual fall off, because if you don't, what it means is you're not getting enough support, and if somebody gets in foul trouble, you're hosed or injured, right?
Right. So I was just going to make the point that even, you know, now that we're kind of in some ways moving beyond moving beyond the Lone Peak 3, right? But not really. If you just look at the roster right now and you just read American Fork, Utah, Boise, Idaho, Gwinnett, Georgia, Shelley, Idaho, South Jordan, Utah, Mesa, Arizona, Gulfport, Mississippi, Alpine, Utah, Meridian, Idaho, Orem, Utah, Bountiful, Utah, Eagle, Idaho, Longview, Washington, and Macon, or whatever that name of that town is, Wisconsin. So there's a lot of Utah and Idaho in there, which is always, maybe that's always going to be the case, right? But I think you're right. I think they've got to branch out. Like, is the answer going to be that you find somebody like a Pirtle in Austria? You know, if you could get somebody like that to come to BYU with, you know, a couple of years out of Europe, that'd be huge.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. It doesn't need to be an absolute pipeline, but if you could find a player like that every few years, that could make a significant difference in the program.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think that's, you know, whatever it takes to get more talent on the roster is what you have to do, right? And because you're BYU, you have to think outside of the box because you can't just recruit anybody, right? You have to recruit players that will be able to handle living in Provo, right? And the honor code. And wherever you find those players, they don't have to all be LDS, right? Because we've had really good players come through the program that were not. Then you've got to go find them. And they may not be in the backyard of BYU, right? They may be on the east coast of the U.S. or overseas. And I think that is... that is something that, you know, but those, that type of recruiting is not easy either, right? It's long trips and, you know, maybe not as developed scouting system that that you're working with. So anyway, I hope that Lee Kummert's trip is a legitimate attempt to bring better talent to the roster. That's all I'm saying. And I want Peyton Dastrup back. I'm just kidding. I'm sure he'll be great at Oregon State. So, Matt, something that applies to all of BYU sports. Doug Robinson in the Deseret News had an article a few days ago that talked about the Director's Cup. Okay, and basically, it's this, you know, this award and rankings based on all of your sports and how they do. And historically, BYU has done very, very well for the first, from 94 to 2007. Robinson points out their average ranking was about 25. In the 11 years since then, their average ranking has been 40. And, you know, those are arbitrary cutoff points. I don't know that they actually mean anything besides the fact that one of them is lower on average and one of them is higher. But my question for you is this something that as a BYU sports fan that you are worried about their existence in their relative ranking in these things like the Director's Cup?
By itself, no. I'm not really concerned about this because I'm okay being a fan of a program that focuses on being really good at two or three sports. And so that would be okay with me if we really excelled in men's and women's basketball and football. I'm not married to this, but I do think what he points out here is very telling. I think that it does tell a story here about what is going on with the traditional big sports, and the athletic department as a whole. So I don't know that I would normally use this as a barometer, but by itself. But I do think in the current situation, it tells us something.
Yeah, I don't know that it tells me much of anything because how much do you and I talk about sports outside of football and basketball on this show?
Yeah, not very much.
How much do you care? We talk. You and I will occasionally watch and follow. We do follow men's volleyball, and outside of that, it's pretty sporadic whether I pay attention to anything outside of men's basketball and football, okay?
So, right, but men's volleyball has been to the Final Four, what is it, four out of the last 5 years?
So obviously, right? so they're not hurting the rankings.
Right, and if they weren't performing that way, we wouldn't talk about them like we do on the show.
No. I just got too many things going on in my life. It's nothing against those sports or people that follow them. That's great. And we've had people ask us, we'll talk more about baseball or talk about... Well, I'm not going to talk about something that I don't pay any attention to, right? Because then it's not going to be interesting to anybody on the show, right? But the point that is worrisome about this is that really the rankings being down mostly has to do with that our football program during that first time period was more consistently ranked high is a big part of this, right? The football program over the last 11 years has struggled to break that top 25. But to make you feel better about yourselves, we're still way better than the University of Utah in these rankings. they were 11th in the Pac-12. Now, I'm not really good with math, but I believe that means only one team was worse than them.
And that team was Washington State. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so it, you know, I look at these things, and I don't know that anybody really cares. You know, like, if you're a BYU football recruit, do you think you're making a choice based on the Director's Cup standings?
No, I would guess that 85 to 90% of BYU football recruits couldn't even tell you what this thing is.
Exactly. Or quite frankly, most fans probably don't really pay attention to it. So anyway, it's interesting.
But you don't think, you know, when some of these things that are pointed out here, right? The baseball team advancing the postseason pretty regularly up through the early 90s, but only once in the last 16 years. And some of these other programs and track especially that have really performed well, but in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so are all struggling. Like, that doesn't tell us something?
No, I don't think it tells you anything because when I was covering random sports teams, when I was, you know, working in the area as a budding sports journalist, some things were up and some things were down. A lot of it was cyclical, right? Like, the baseball program has been great and it's been terrible. Basketball, I mean, when I was at BYU, we weren't any good, right? Like, I was there during some of the worst years in BYU basketball history, right? So
those were dark days.
A lot of this is cyclical, and yeah, we had a better stretch, but was that the aberration? You know what I mean? Was that stars aligning and all these teams being good? As you pointed out, men's volleyball, women's volleyball, gymnastics has been better. Soccer, women's soccer has had a good stretch. I mean, this season was a disappointment for them. But, you know,
they've had some really talented players come through women's soccer.
Yeah, and they've had really good on-field success. So to me, these things are up and down, and I struggle to see how they could be related. Like, I don't understand why women's track and men's baseball would have some type of connection as to why the two programs aren't as good as they used to be. I struggle in my brain to figure out how those two things would in any way, shape, be connected, because they don't have the same coaching staff. They don't. The recruiting is so much different in those sports. And do you just not have as good coaches? Did you just have a bunch of really good coaches in the 90s? And they retired, and it's just not as good anymore. I don't know. That may be partially true, but I don't worry too much about this stuff. It's interesting, and it's nice to say we're better than Utah, but in the end, it doesn't matter to me that much.
Well, and it's July, right? I mean, you gotta come up with something to write about.
We just talked about it for like 5 or 6 minutes, and neither of us actually care that much.
But the piece that one of the things that I feel like there should be more talking about this is that the. You know, there's all sorts of turmoil, by the way, going on with the rugby team. We don't have time to really get into it, and I don't know a whole ton about it. But
the rugby team is involved in this.
Right? But they're not. It's not an NCAA sport.
Yeah, they're not actually part of the university.
With the staff and some other things. But they're not even part of the rankings, right?
Yeah.
The thing about this, though, is what I would hate. There's two things that I would hate people to do with the information in this when you look at these standings at the Director's Cup. One would be to say, well, the athletic department doesn't care as much as they used to, right? Which I don't think is the case. And the other one, and the more egregious offense, would be to use this as a case against independence. Because I don't know that you can, you know, but I feel like this is something that somebody would use to kind of wave a flag and say, independence is not working because look what it has done to our rankings in the Director's Cup.
Oh.
You know, our basketball team and these other sports are playing in this West Coast Conference, which isn't as exciting. And so players, you know, athletes aren't coming here. And I don't follow recruiting enough in some of these other sports to verify whether or not that's actually true. But I don't know how many, you know, how many football recruits we really lose because of the independence issue.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, well, let's talk some football. Speaking of football recruits, Matt... QB battle. That's what everyone wants to talk about, despite the fact that we have no new information. So last 2 weeks ago, Brandon Gurney was on the show, and he predicted that Bo Hodge would be the starter in week 1 against Arizona. Matt, I think that's what you've been saying. So, hats off to you. You agree with Brandon Gurney.
Hey, it's not the first time.
No.
I don't know.
No, won't be the last. Actually, it probably is, because he usually says really smart things.
He actually knows what he's talking about.
Also true, and maybe not as true with you. So Matt, has your opinion changed at all? I mean, there's no new data to change it, but are you still in the camp that if you had to put money on it, Bo Hodge is the starter in week one? Or are you waffling like a politician?
I'm waffling like a politician.
Of course you are. You always do.
And so I've had a lot of conversations around this, obviously, over the past couple of weeks, because I have, I'm obsessed with BYU football, kind of like we all are. And I don't know if it was you or somebody else made this point. Maybe you made this point on the show.
If it's a good point, I probably made it.
I think it is a good point. So if you're Grimes and you get offered the job to come and be the OC at BYU, you know this is a 2 or 3 year job for you, right? Yep. And it's a 2 or 3 year job for you, and it's either going to go well or not. If it goes well, in years 1 and 2, you're going to turn this program around. You're going to move the ball down the field. You're going to score some points. You're going to win a couple of these games against these top-ranked teams. You make a little bit of noise, and someone's going to offer you a head coaching gig.
Or an offensive coordinator gig at a bigger...
at a top 15, 20 school.
Yeah. Right.
So, but if you come in year one, lay an egg, that's a problem for you and your career development.
That is correct. So not irreversible, but a problem.
I believe that Grimes takes the job only if after watching film he feels like he's got a quarterback on the roster that can win those games in year one. And the only quarterback on the roster for whom there would have been enough film and whose film he may have already been familiar with is Tanner Mangum.
Yep.
And so I think that Grimes shows up in Provo believing that Tanner Mangum is his guy, and Bo Hodge is going to have to talk him out of it.
Okay.
And I didn't get anything out of spring ball that says that Bo Hodge talked him out of it.
Right. Well, let's go to the tweet bag, Matt.
Tweet bag. Tweet bag.
Could you just voice crack?
I tried to do the tweet bag.
Yeah, your puberty's been hard on you. Now,
time to change.
Change. Did
a
we
special
just,
time.
Did we just make a Brady Bunch reference?
Oh, we did.
That's sweet.
Oh, we certainly did. That's and sweet. I'm not even, that's not even the first time we made a Brady Bunch reference.
That is not the first time.
Oh, I know.
Oh, what else? Gary Payne, that's at Fast Break GP, says, Mangum appears to be in full health and has lost 20 pounds. He didn't seem like he could need to lose 20 pounds, man. What does that translate to, good or bad for a QB? With all the QB chatter, I think experience will win out, and Tanner Mangum starts versus Arizona. Thoughts? Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag painbag. Matt, does the 20 pounds, what does that mean when you're a quarterback?
I don't think Tanner Mangum could have stood to lose 20 pounds, to be honest with you. I mean, last year he did look a little bit more jacked than the year before, but
I know
he needed to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to ignore the 20-pound piece. I do think he looks like he's moving around, I don't know. I think he'll be in close to full health by the fall. And I believe he ends up being the starter.
So to answer what you just said about Grimes a couple minutes ago, and to answer Gary's, as always, astute tweetbag question, here's my thoughts. I don't know if what you said about Grimes is true or not, right? It's a good theory, and I think it's likely true that he thought at least Mangum or Critchlow or Hodge, the three that have some film for him to look at, right? That one of the three of them could be a starting quarterback in a good offense. Or it'd be hard to take the job with a team that was as terrible at offense as BYU was last year, right? What I am going to say, though, is I believe, based on his interviews, that Grimes is probably a flexible enough guy that if he sees something better, he's going to use it. And he doesn't, I don't think he's going to be worried about, well, Mangum's a senior, so I should give him the first shot, right?
No, he doesn't. I don't think he cares.
I think he's going to
give. He doesn't have time for that.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that. He is going to find the quarterback that he thinks is the best and can win football games. I also don't think they're going to put Zach Wilson in to, quote-unquote, develop him either.
No, they doesn't have time for that either. That's preposterous.
Right.
It's laughable that Grimes is going to waste a year of the of what is going to be a short stint in Provo on developing Zach Wilson.
Well, and waste a month of first three games against Arizona, Cal, and Wisconsin, in which
you got to make some noise.
Yeah, which BYU could make a statement if you win two out of three of those games, or at least, you know, win one of them and not look terrible offensively in the other two, right? And Wisconsin, quite frankly, as good as their defense have been historically, if you could move the ball against Wisconsin, people are going into that Washington game and then that softer part of the schedule are gonna start saying, well, wow, BYU has turned it around. So I'm with you there. I think who that quarterback is, though, that he'll fall in love with, for lack of a better phrase, I don't know. I think Mangum is probably the most likely because he has won and has looked good at the FBS level. I do think, though, if they to echo what Brandon Gurney said on the show a couple weeks ago, I do think if he wants a mobile quarterback, that Hodge is probably that guy, right? Mangum moves pretty well, though. Let's not forget that, at least before he got hurt. He was not somebody that, he wasn't a runner, but he was pretty mobile. I mean, his Hail Mary passes all came off of, you know, moving around.
Yeah, Tanner throws better on the run. He throws better on a rollout.
Yes.
That's been true since he's been at BYU.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a good athlete, right? So I mean, but I think the chances of it being anybody but Mangum and Bo Hodge are low. That's my take based on all the factors that you just talked about. And we're going to have in a few weeks, Matt, we're going to do a whole show on QBs.
Well, we got like 17 of them on the roster.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about every person on the roster. And you and I think this is, I don't have the schedule up in front of me. It's going to be in a couple of weeks. You and I are going to go through and talk about who we think the starting quarterback is going to be for the next 5 years. We're going to
predict. Holy smokes.
Yeah, we're going to go deep into the future.
I might pick somebody who's not even on the roster now.
We're going to have flying cars by then.
Flying cars.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Self-driving flying cars and jackets that, if you get them wet, they self-dry. Where's that? Where's that invention?
That's a pretty good invention. What about the pizza thing with the little tiny pizza that becomes a giant pizza?
Rehydrated pizza?
Oh, that pizza looked delicious.
That did look delicious.
I love pizza.
I do love pizza. I should have pizza tonight. Anyway, so
it's not too late.
Speaking of this quarterback battle, there was an article in the Salt Lake Tribune by Kurt Cragthorpe about Jake Heaps and basically the advice that Jake Heaps might give to these quarterbacks who are obviously it's kind of in, you know, flux as to who the starter will be, as we discussed. And obviously Jake has been in that situation before. And basically, Heap's advice, to paraphrase it, is that they should, all of these guys that are vying for the job, should try to shut out the noise and just do the best that they can. Now, obviously, I think he's speaking from experience. The article doesn't go into depth of at least his comments that he maybe did not do that, right? That he let the noise, and you and I have talked about in past episodes, and he had some personal things going on too, but he might have let that noise of fans and coaches and family get into his head and maybe affect his play on the field. What is your take on Jake Heaps' advice for these quarterbacks that are currently on the roster?
Well, there's two quotes in here from Jay Keeps that really fascinate me. One goes back to the original, to the point you were just making, where he says, what was really it was how easily I could hear the outside noise, right? So this is a kid who shows up 18 years old to BYU, you know, and it kind of, in many ways, amidst unprecedented fanfare, right? He did the big signing thing with the hats and all the whatever, right?
Yep. Press conference all the night.
And, you know, and he's an 18-year-old kid. And, you know, you get that from him, you know, reading through here, that he looks back at that now like, I was just a kid. I really didn't understand what I was getting into. Says, it was more about not being able to handle these situations that were presented to me. I just got smacked in the face with things I had never faced before. And so, you know, when I look at his advice to these quarterbacks about shut out the outside noise, I don't know that there is a better example attached to the BYU football program of this. So for him to stand there, that's got to carry some weight, right? For him to look at them and say, look, I was supposed to be an NFL perennial All-Pro on my way to the Hall of Fame when I was 17 years old.
Right.
And one of the things that derailed that was that I could not stop listening to all of this noise. I couldn't shut it out. Yeah. Like, you've got to let that go. That has got to carry some weight with another 18-year-old kid, 19-year-old kid sitting in Provo trying to figure out if he's, as a freshman, you know, you look at these other, you know, we got 8 quarterbacks on the roster. You know, one of these guys is thinking, oh, if I don't, maybe I need to transfer, if I don't win this job, if I don't beat out Bo or Tanner or whatever. I don't know who better to carry that message than to somebody who felt it so in such a painful way.
The player that I think probably needs this advice the most at this point is Zach Wilson, right? I mean, I think if you're Mangum, you've hopefully figured a lot of that out by this point.
Well, there's nothing you can do anyway.
Hodge grew up in a household where there was an NFL player in his house, right? Who also, you know, is involved in the sport still, right? So probably he's somebody that was getting good advice about shutting some of that stuff out, right? Critchlow just seems like a guy that's probably not paying that much attention to that, you know, in his interviews, that I think that's probably his nature. Wilson is obviously a super confident guy. His family is very involved, right? And on Twitter, interact with fans and other things. I mean, heck, his mom has liked some of our podcast episodes on Twitter because we referenced her son in the title of the episode, right? Or the summary of the episode. I think Zach probably needs that advice, partially just from a patient's perspective, because I don't know that he's going to get his shot in 2018, right? Based on what we just discussed, I don't think it's likely unless everybody, the quarterbacks ahead of him, and by that I really mean Hodge and Mangum, unless the two of them absolutely flame out, right?
But if there's one thing you learn, if you're him, right, that you learn from the Jake Heaps experience, is you do not want that shot when you're not ready for it. You do not want it too early.
Right.
Because it's only coming once.
Right. It is only coming once. Yeah. But if you're any of these guys, they all think they're ready. Right? I mean, they all think they're ready. But anyway, interesting stuff from Jake Heaps. Matt, let's look at, I'm going to skip a couple things here in interest of time. The Lawless Republic had an article about, the title of their article is 3 players that could be clutch for the Cougars. I don't know what clutch means, right? So I'm going to say, I think what they're trying to say is 3 players that will have a massive impact on the team, all right? So they... And maybe some players that aren't getting as much fanfare today, okay? So on defense, they had Corbin Kafusi. I knew I was going to do that. And then on offense, they have Moroni Lolopututau and KJ Hall, all right? So I was going to ask you the question of... Who do you think, outside of the obvious, you know, obviously we don't want to talk about one of the quarterbacks, we've just talked about all of them, and I'll also exclude Matt Bushman on the offensive side. Who are your three, like, big playmakers that you think need to step up this year that maybe aren't the people we're talking about a lot now? Who are they?
Well, I think I think of a couple of guys when we say that, but because I looked at the way I thought you were going to ask this question a little bit differently, but I think about a guy like Braden El-Bakri.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when we look at who we think the starting running back is going to be, I don't think he's going to start. I don't think he'll get the most carries of anybody. But I do think he's going to be extremely important situationally.
Oh, yeah. And has, you know, been.
Right? And if you go back, I mean, I even like to, and yes, I'm going to invoke a reference to the 1996 football team here for just a second. All right. Now, you remember that 1996 football team, there were two very good rushers in the backfield, one of whom was probably the most talented running back that may be the most talented running back we ever had in Provo. Right. So you've got these two really good guys, but there was a third running back who could block, catch the ball out of the backfield, and was effective in short yardage situations. His name was Dustin Johnson. Right. And that is a guy that we needed on that team situationally. And I think El-Bakri needs to be prepared to be there for the team in the situations that are built for him. And if he can do that, he will be a real bright spot on this team and may be somebody that 20 years from now wasn't the starter, wasn't scoring all the touchdowns, wasn't dancing in the end zone or whatever, but is a guy that made a real impact for this team and for that season. So when you ask that question, that's the first guy that jumps out for me.
Interesting. Interesting. I'll show off my my first one is Schoaf at the left tackle position. If this offense is going to work, you're going to need great offensive line play, and that starts with your left tackle protecting the blind side of the quarterback and, of course, leading on the run. But I love your pick of El-Bakri. I didn't have him on my list, but maybe I should have. Who's another one for you?
The second guy I go to is also on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to go with J.J. Nwigwe. You know, I think that they make a good argument in the article for MLP and his role as, you know, another tight end that we could put on the field so that we're not giving away when Bushman sits down that it's a run play or another credible target. You know, but I look at Nwigwe much that same way. I mean, the guy who's 6'5 and 260 pounds, if he could catch some passes, you could put him on the field with Matt Bushman and nobody has any clue what you're about to do, right? And I don't need him to run past everybody. You don't need him to be a Gronk. You don't need him to be a Bushman. But I need him to be able to run five and outs and get open. And I need him to be able to destroy people when run blocking.
I have in my head, Matt, short yardage situations where you've got three tight ends on the field who can catch the ball and block.
Oh my gosh.
And El-Bakri back there too, right? And you don't even need a freaking wideout in that scenario. You don't need one. What defensive configuration are they going to put out that doesn't give you matchup
advantages?
You got
to have at least one good matchup in that scenario.
Yes, you will get a good matchup.
But those guys need to all be credible threats.
Yes. And Nwigwe, I don't know if he will be in the passing game. I think we can confidently say that MLP most likely will be based on his history when he was a wide receiver on the team and was pretty decent, right? So
he's got a single reception for 12 yards under his belt.
Who, Nwigwe? Yeah. But the point being, though, even in those scenarios, like you said, he doesn't have to be Gronk. He just has to be able to do that 5-yard out and catch the ball in the end zone when it's, you know, first and goal of the two, right? Because that changes what the if that holds. If the next time there's a short yardage situation that holds the linebacker for a split second, that can be a touchdown, right? Or a big play on, say, a third and two at the 50, right? So I'm with you. That's a good one. I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to go with Butch Powell. He's a player that's had some health issues. I think We're going to have, hopefully, one of the best defensive lines that we've had in recent memory. It's certainly very, very talented. And they're going to create a lot of opportunities for the linebackers. Obviously, we know Taki, and we know his abilities, and I think he'll have a great season. But we need Butch Powell to just own that middle like he did a few years ago, and maybe even better when he was fully healthy. And I want him to lead this team in tackles and have one of the highest tackle seasons in BYU history. And I think he's capable of it, and I think it would make a massive difference for this defense if the defensive line occupies space and they have to double team some of the defensive line because they're being disruptive, and then Powell makes the tackles that he has to make in order to make that defense work.
You know, and I'm going to throw one more player here who I think is just at least a compelling story is Austin Lee, back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is a guy that I don't know if I'd put him in the category of we need this guy to perform, but I think this is kind of one of those like dark horse candidates to be a standout breakout player this fall. And this is a guy that, you know, played his freshman season at Utah, you know, played some games a little bit, mostly, you know, looks like a lot of special teams and things, but really intriguing piece of the roster. And you wonder if this is a guy who could step up out of nowhere and become a meaningful piece for the defense.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. I think we can hope that he does that. My third one is going to be not a name. It's going to be a hope. You ready for this? It's going to be a hope.
Yep.
I just want one of these wide receivers to emerge as a elite threat. And I don't mean elite like top five in the nation. I just mean somebody like we've had in the past, even to, you know, Mitch Matthews time period, where when it's a 3rd and 7, besides Bushman, there's somebody else he can throw the ball to, whoever the quarterback ends up being. A person that can just get open on their own. And the last few years, we haven't had that, right? I know people have said, oh, no, they were open and they were missed. And that, of course, sometimes happened over the last couple of years. But we've had trouble getting off the line of scrimmage and press coverage. And we need somebody that can do that, you know. And they don't have to be a speedster. It can be a Ben Cahoon type of player, right? It can be a slot type of receiver. Or it can be somebody that goes deep. I don't care. We just need one of those receivers. And I honestly have no idea. Is it going to be Cauley? Is it going to be Romney? Is it going to be Bo Tanner? Is it going to be Nick Powell? I have no idea. And I can't pick one because I don't know. I guess Cauley's the best bet because he's been playing college football longer and maybe at a higher level than other guys that I mentioned. But I hope one of them does. Please. Please. Please.
Just one. Just one of them.
Just one of them. So Matt, let's finish up here with recruiting. Was very busy in June. We had they offered 18 and got 6 verbal commits. There's a couple of 2019 guys here that are interesting. I think nothing is better than getting a commit whose name is Carter Wheat. Carter Wheat. That's pretty amazing. He's 6'4".
That's like one of those generated names from the old college football game.
Yeah, that's not a real name. Just kidding, Carter, if you're listening to the show, which of course you're not. We're glad to have you sign. But anyway, just there's a couple of interesting names in here, 3-star, 2-star type of athletes that have signed who I think could be, and 2 more tight ends. I think we're all in on getting good tight ends now.
I think that it's something that Grimes is used to having around. And so he's looking at this roster thinking, we don't have enough of this, and you need this to be successful.
Yeah, yeah. So, and another person with the last name Kafusi. So
apparently you can't get enough of those.
Ace Kafusi. What a name. Like, again, these names, they don't seem real.
No, they're like superhero names.
They're fantastic. They're fantastic.
Carter Wheat is the alter ego of a superhero. Ace Kafusi is a superhero, flat-out superhero.
Yeah, he's like The Rock, right? Like, everybody knows who he is, but he's still awesome. right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He doesn't need an alter ego.
Are you going to go see Skyscraper?
Negative.
Will you see it on video?
Likely no.
Will you see it on TNT when it invariably gets played a lot on that station?
Yes. Yes, okay. I will.
Do you still watch TNT? I don't even watch cable anymore.
I don't watch have cable. Television. Cut the cord.
Yeah, of course you did. Everybody's cut the cord. So, Matt, we're going to end with another Tweetbag question.
Tweetbag, you're not going to make reference to Bodie Schoonover? Of all the names.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one.
About guys that signed, you're not going to say anything about Bodie Schoonover?
No, I just didn't scroll down far enough. I was going to when I was planning this out.
There are some gems down there at the bottom. Gems.
Bodie Schoonover and some names I can't say.
A lot of names that you will never pronounce correctly. I hope they Luke all Luve, end up on the roster hey, starters because you will just,
I just massacre said one right.
their names for years to come.
Nukuluve Helu. How's that? Take that, buddy. Devin Ooh, Vanderbilt. And, yes. and by the way, this is the best part about Devin Vanderbilt, okay? Besides his name is sounds like somebody off of, you know, some British TV show. 5'11", 152 pounds.
Yeah.
That's not a big guy.
No, that is by definition a small guy.
Yeah, so anyway, pretty funny. And some good names on here. But you're right. I don't know how I missed Schoonover.
I'm not even sure if that's Schoonover. Pronounced right. It might be Schoonover.
Schoonover? I don't know. Yeah. I can't have to get their names pronounced right when they haven't even played yet. Right? Nobody's even saying their names. But he's from Eagle, Idaho, right? No, that's Dalton Riggs that's from Eagle, Idaho.
He's from American Fork. Bodie hails from American Fork. I think they're the cavemen.
He's a caveman. That's
He's 6'4", 210 pounds.
Yeah, he is one big caveman, for sure. So Andre has a tweet bag question for us, and that's at AAC underscore Hutchins. You caught me off guard there because you already did it twice. All right. Movie phone.
Tweet bag.
Would you stop it? I'm trying to be serious.
You're never going to get through for this bit. I'm just not going to let you through.
This is a serious podcast. And Andre, I know you got a beef with him, but let it go.
So it's a low key beef.
That's right. Would you or Matt go vegan for the rest of your life if it meant BYU won a national title in football, basketball, baseball? I don't care about baseball. I'm going to amend his question, in football or basketball, because the answer is no on baseball.
I don't even need to read. I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I get 6 words into this question, and I already know the answer.
Just one title for each in your lifetime. Hashtag climb on in. So, Matt, would you go vegan and we would get a title, a national title for BYU football and a national title for BYU basketball in your lifetime? But you gotta stay away from meat and eggs. And I think Andre did, if I remember right. Didn't you do one, Andre? Didn't you do vegan? Aren't you? I think you might be doing some of the vegan. But Matt, you said you already knew your answer. I think I know your answer. Go ahead, though.
Well, like I said, I get 6 words into this question, and I already know the answer. You had me at, would you or Matt go vegan? The answer to that question is no. I don't know how many... I don't know how many national championships you'd have to put on the tail end of that question to make the answer yes. I'm not sure there are enough because I'm only going to live for so long.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, you go vegan. You know what's out? Torchy's Tacos. Do they have a vegan option? Well,
they do have vegan options at Torchy's Tacos.
But actually, they don't include meat.
A hippie place like that.
And they don't include... How can they have vegan? How do you do a taco without cheese?
You don't put cheese on it. That's not hard.
That's stupid. That's not a taco.
The taco I order, I get it served trashy style, which means they put more cheese on it.
Right, right.
I actually ate at Torch's for lunch today. Of course you did. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Of course you did. You're a jerk.
Trailer park served trashy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Andre, but there's no way I'm giving up meat. I mean, I'm traveling for work. And I was at the hotel restaurant, and they had a burger that has chips on it. And I said, all right, I'm in. And I ate that. Now, I had a nice salad with it, a little kale, and some balsamic dressing. But, I'm not giving up meat. I don't know how many titles. I'm with you. It'd have to be a lot. It'd have to be a lot of titles.
So it was my wife's birthday the other day.
Okay. Happy birthday to her.
It was also our sister-in-law's birthday. They share the same birthday.
They share the same birthday. I am aware of that, yes.
So our brother Don, his family came over to the house. Mom and Dad came over to the house. We just did a little cookout, real simple. You know, I'm not a big like barbecue guy, but I do grill. Because there's a difference, right? Whatever. But I had hamburgers, brats, chicken skewers, and bacon-wrapped jalapeno.
All right. It's all better wrapped in bacon.
There was meat in everything that I prepared.
As there
and on top
be.
Of that, going vegan is different than vegetarian. It's much there's the discipline there is way different.
Oh, heck yeah.
Like there was also potato salad on the menu. Not available for you. Of course, maybe there's a recipe out there for some vegan.
Not that it's good.
Salad. Right? That's an extremely hard thing to do. And I'm not disparaging it. I'm not passing judgment on people who eat that way. I'm just saying I'm not going to trade that for a couple of national championships for BYU. Now, if you threw onto the end of that question, I got to be on a team, like I got to be on a BYU football team that won a national championship, I at least think about that for 5 or 6 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. I still wouldn't think about it. Are you kidding me? I love meat. I love cheese. I love cheese, man. Cheese is like...
How many times have you said on the show today, I love cheese?
I don't know, but I love cheese. I just eat cheese.
I don't even really like cheese. I don't eat a lot of cheese. I'm not going to lie to you.
I take out a block of cheddar cheese, and I will sometimes just cut off slices and eat them.
That's not appetizing to me at all.
What is wrong with you? Cheddar cheese? Sharp cheddar?
There was a time in my life when I would do that, but as I get older, I'm just like, my body can't handle that.
A little pepper jack? A little Havarti cheese on an apple?
Okay, real quick. I know we've gone full food here for just a second.
We've totally gone full food. Thanks, Andre.
Some friends of ours in Baton Rouge had us over, okay? And he introduced me to something ridiculous.
Okay.
All right, it didn't really take off when I had the family over here the other night. But I don't know how many times I've done this since he showed this to me. So you take you got a brat, okay?
Okay.
All right. So you put the brat on.
You started with goodness. I'm with you.
You put the brat on there and let the brat start cooking.
Okay.
You get your bun. You place a slice of Havarti cheese there in the bun. All right. Now.
Stop it.
Leave it there. Just leave it for a second. Don't eat it. I know you're going to be tempted to start peeling off the corners, but leave the cheese alone for a second.
Okay.
Go back to your grill. Your brat's ready now. So you get the brat off, and it's hot. It's very hot. Don't touch it with your hands. Use the tongs, right?
Or you're going to burn yourself. Thanks for the detailed instructions. Very helpful.
So you're going to take the brat. You're going to put it in the bun, and you're going to make sure that cheese wraps around it a little bit, and you're going to let that cheese melt around that brat. Okay, and then you're gonna take some pickled sliced jalapenos, and you're gonna put as many on that brat as you want, and then you're gonna top it with a little bit of a sweet type of barbecue sauce. You know, you could go like sweet baby Ray's, like put a sweet barbecue sauce. The mix of the Havarti cheese, the spiciness in the brat, the jalapenos, and that barbecue sauce, it'll change your life.
Not only have we not gone vegan, Matt, we're now giving out awesome meat recipes for the grilling.
Meat and cheese. It's a meat and cheese recipe.
So let me tell you this. I have learned a great way to cook brats, and it would work, I'm sure, fine with yours. You boil them for about 10 minutes and then finish them on high heat on the grill.
Can't do that.
Why?
I can't boil it.
I couldn't either until I tasted one. It's so juicy and then super crispy skin. Oh, good. In your little recipe, I think that'd be a winner. And I'm totally trying that this weekend. I'm going to text Kathleen right now and have her get some brats.
I had it for dinner 2 days in a row already this week, and it's Tuesday.
That and Torchies. Well, we should. There we go. We're
it's
done.
Been, listen, I try to really be careful about. I'm in a training cycle, right? And I try to be careful, but the last few days, the wheels have really come off. I'm not going to lie to you. But this is also a week where, like, my mileage and everything's ramped up, so I'm constantly hungry.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I know that feeling. I mean, sometimes I exercise and I get hungrier sometimes. So it's exactly the same. Well, thanks,
everybody. It is exactly the same.
Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. We appreciate you coming back after a week hiatus over the 4th. Hope you enjoyed your 4th of July and blew some stuff up. You can join the tweet bag at any time at BYU_RiseShout on Twitter or on Instagram, on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout, and via email at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. If you have not done so already, you should subscribe to the show on iTunes, and we recommend that you tell your friends and neighbors, anybody that loves BYU sports, that, you know, we're 330 episodes in and we're still going strong. And by the way, we're going to be previewing lots of football over the next month and a half, so stay tuned for more exciting BYU football preview. Thanks again for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
Go Brats is what you should say at the end. And cheese.
So delicious. See, it's late. I can't eat this late. You're making me hungry.
Okay. Yeah, it's Andre's fault with his vegan talk.
And it's our low-key beef. We have a beef. How can you talk about being vegan? We literally are beefing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I can talk about it. Yum. Broads.